Folks, we have Jim Randolph on the phone today, and we have some updated information for you on this issue facing the state of Florida concerning abortion. So I'm going to let him explain to you where we are, what we need to do. Jim?
Well, thank you, Bob. As we've spoken several times before, the amendment states no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability. And we've discussed how viability is not determined, how they use the term patient's health versus life, parental notification versus parental consent. But there's been a new development that I must bring to your audience's attention because this is absolutely critical. So the amendment that the voters are going to be voting on and that they need to absolutely vote no on starts out, says no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, keywords delay, or restrict abortion. Now, a similar amendment was passed in the state of Michigan back in 2022. It was drafted by a bunch of lawyers with the ACLU. The same lawyers drafted the amendment that's going to be on the ballot in Florida. And the amendment is very similar to the one that they passed in Michigan. The word delay, people think, well, that means you can't have 24-hour delays or whatever. No, here's what it's going to end up meaning. And here's what the ACLU just did in Michigan. They filed a lawsuit and said all abortions, if somebody cannot afford one, must be taxpayer funded. And that is because if a person cannot afford an abortion and the state does not provide one, that is a delay. And per the state constitutional amendment now, taxpayers must fund the abortions. Otherwise, that constitutes a quote-unquote delay and therefore is unconstitutional. So this is – the enemy has revealed its hand. Actually, I'm surprised that they did this before the Florida election. This is their goal, taxpayer-funded abortions up to the moment of birth in the state of Florida. And they just revealed their hand by filing this lawsuit in the state of Michigan to force taxpayers up there to pay for it. So God forbid, if this amendment passes, Bob, they will be suing immediately after this thing passes to have the taxpayers of the state of Florida pay for abortions here with our taxpayer dollars. This is what it means. And like I said, they've revealed their hand now. This is the same group of attorneys that drafted it up in Michigan, same group drafted this amendment here in Florida, Bob. So we've got to get the word out. I can't emphasize enough, Bob, that this is an amendment to the state constitution. And no law passed by the legislature can do anything about this amendment if it becomes law. I was thinking about this morning. It was like when Nebuchadnezzar got tricked into passing that law against Daniel.
Yep.
Once he passed the law, Bob, there was nothing he could do about it.
Nope.
It was passed. And if not for God's providence and deliverance, you know, Daniel would have been dead.
Yep.
But this is how drastic and draconian this amendment is. And this is why we must get the word out. Tell your friends, get on social media, tell your pastor, get the word out, call all of your family members, and we must get the word out to tell people to vote no on this amendment.
That's amendment number four.
Amendment number four, yes.
All right.
You'll see it on the title. It'll start out, no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability, and there's only one more sentence after that, so... yes, it's amendment number four.
So we got to vote no on amendment number four. Let's make that, and listen, people of God, pray. We need God's involvement in this thing. We need to see the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit, move and defeat this thing. So you've got the word now. Jim has given you what we're up against, and I'm calling you to prayer, and he's calling you to prayer. So let's make this thing a matter of prayer. We must defeat amendment number four to the Florida Constitution next month. We must defeat it. make it a matter of prayer.
Well, Horace, thanks for joining us today here in this edition of Challenge for our radio congregation. And listen, I covered some information in this message that may cause you some concern, especially for those in our midst who have received the COVID vaccinations. Please understand this. I'm not trying to frighten anybody. I'm not trying to overstate anything. I'm just simply stating to our people here because I try to protect our people. I pray for them. I try to watch over them as a under-shepherd. I try to make sure that the sheep are properly cared for, loved, and prayed for. And so as I cover some of this information, in the event you've had the COVID vaccination, and in the event anything that I say in this message gives you cause for concern, listen to what I say about how to handle that. It's all involved in this message. So I want you to prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit of God to make real to you that part of this message or all of this message which you would find relevant in your life. May God bless you as you do so. Here's the message. It's entitled, Give Me Something to Work With, going to Isaiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. Be blessed as you listen. Title of this morning's message is, Give Me Something to Work With. So if you'll go ahead and open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7, if you're not already there. In Isaiah chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, the king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it. You've got two heads of two nations here. You've got Syria, and you've got Samaria. Now, remember, when you talk about Israel, many times we interchange the name Israel, Samaria, and Ephraim. Those three names still speak to the same nation, Samaria, Ephraim, and Israel. So you've got two nations that know singularly they cannot by themselves take Jerusalem. So they decide to combine their forces, and they're going to go up against Jerusalem. And you may be interested to know that the king of Samaria had been a captain in the army of Samaria and assassinated the king and then became the king. The king of Syria, now both of these are powerhouse nations. Both of these are powerhouse nations. And so they've conspired to go up. They're going to take Jerusalem. They're going to depose the king is there. And they're going to establish their king, a guy whose name we know in the scriptures, but we know nothing at all about him. And so the word tells us, once again in Isaiah 7:1, Now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, wicked king. Wicked, 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 wicked king. This man came to the throne at 20 years of age. He reigned for 16 years. He embraced the gods of the Canaanites. He embraced Baal. He embraced Moloch. As a matter of fact, he caused one of his sons, and we don't know how many other, to pass through the fire. Was devoted to the god of Moloch by casting his son into the fire in the furnace and burning him to death. His wife, preserved Hezekiah. He was a son as well, and she preserved Hezekiah, so he will later come to the throne. He reigned for 20 years, and Ahaz reigned for 16 years. So what we got here is an evil, evil king, and he's up against a problem. He's got a problem. Verse 2, And was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved. Look at that. And the heart of the people. You've got a nation struck with fear. The trees, as the trees of the wood, are moved with the wind. And was told the house of David. Look at this carefully now. Syria is confederate, has joined forces with Ephraim, Samaria, Israel. And his heart was moved along with the hearts of the people as the woods are moved with the wind. This man is scared. He's frightened. His nation is frightened. And you do strange things when you're frightened. Fear has a way of making us do things that otherwise we would not do. Fear has a way of immobilizing us if we're not careful. In Psalms 31, in verse 2, David, the man of courage, lion-hearted David, F.B. Myers did a devotion on him, talking about how he was weaned with God as a child in his mother's lap. And when you pull everything into that, and I'm leading up to something here now, here's David, man of courage, lion-hearted man, and it's hard to picture him picturing himself as one so totally at peace and so totally committed and so totally at rest in Jehovah God as a baby, as a child that has been weaned in his mother's lap. We don't often equate that kind of attitude and action to David. He's a man of war. Lion-hearted, they say. Man of war. Courage. So here's a man. Ahaz is the king of the nation. And when he gets word what's going on, his heart is moved with fear. The hearts of his people are moved with fear. And they know they're at risk. And in his heart, Ahaz is thinking, okay, I could go to Assyria. I can make a pledge to the king of Assyria, which was the superpower of the known world at that time. And I can get Assyria to come and give us a hand. But now, God is going to speak to him through the prophet Isaiah. Verse 3. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou, and Hirshabub thy son. His name, the name of his son, means a remnant shall return. Speaking prophetically, that was his name. Take your son, go with you, and he's at the end of the conduit of the upper pool of the highway of the fuller's field. All the indications are inductively that Ahab knows, okay, they're going to besiege the city. They're going to surround the city. They're going to try to breach the walls. All the indications are that he was looking at the perimeters, trying to establish his perimeter defenses, and at the same time make sure they had a continual water flow into the city of Jerusalem, and they turned off the water supply to them, to the enemy. So he's up there busy putting all this together in his mind, but way down deep in the back of his mind, in his heart, he's thinking, well, if push comes to shove here, and I think it's already there, I'll go to Assyria, and I will seek the help of Assyria. But God speaks to Isaiah to go to the king and say this to him, verse 4. Say to him, take heed, listen up, king. That's what he's saying. Listen up, take heed. Be quiet. Calm down. Just be quiet, calm down. Fear not. Don't be afraid. You've got nothing to fear. Neither faint-hearted. Don't be faint-hearted. Don't be weak. Don't get scared. Don't start losing your courage. Don't start losing. Now remember, this is an evil, evil, evil king. And yet God is speaking comfort, not because of him, but because of his covenant with David. He's in the Davidic line. He is in the Davidic line. God always honors his word. God always honors his covenants. And we need to keep that in mind. You're going to bump across situations and circumstances you have already that stirred your heart with fear, like the wind in the trees. And you're going to meet others because we're already being told now that the COVID-19 vaccination may not necessarily be effective against the variants that are now coming against us. And so they're gearing up now, and you're going to be exposed to all kinds of information that can cause some concern. God is saying to this wicked, sinful king, don't be faint-hearted. Don't be weak. Don't be scared. Fear not. For the two tails of these smoking firebrands. The idea here is these two tails of these smoking firebrands, you can picture that one or two ways, but the one I like best is this. A field has been burned over. Trees have been cut down. You got a couple of stumps out there in the tree, in the field.
and the fire has gone across that field, has burned everything in its path, and it scorched these two stumps. And now the fire has died down, but these two stumps are just a little smoke coming up out of them. And so God is speaking of the two nations and their power and their forces as smoking, useless, powerless, nothingness stumps. That's how God views them. Now here's the king all scared. He's fearful. We got two powerhouses. Assyria, Syria itself is a powerhouse and has proved it in war. Samaria is a powerhouse and has proved it in war. And these two are coming against me, but God sees them different than you do, Ahaz. You see, God looks at what you're facing differently than you look at it. Amen. You look at it with a certain amount of fear and caution and trepidation. And God says, it's nothing. It's nothing. I'm in control. I'm on my throne. I have all power. I have all authority. So God says, don't worry about these two smoking stumps. They're has-beens. Basically, what he's saying, they're has-beens. Matter of fact, he goes on. Watch this very carefully now. He goes on in verse 5, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, don't concern yourself because of what they've done. Let us go against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. He says this is their plan. This is their conspiracy. This is what they have in mind. And yes, they are executing that plan. They're executing that plan against you, against your people, against your nation. He goes on. Thus saith the Lord, verse 7, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. End of conversation. God says, look at that. Look at that. It shall not stand. Their plan will not work. It will not stand. Neither shall it come to pass. It's not going to come to fruition. Ahaz, all you've got to do, as wicked as you are, as sinful you are, as ungodly you are, as idolatrous as you are still in the Davidic line. And I honor my word. Regardless of all else, I honor my word. I honor my word. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Is that what the word says? No weapon formed against you will prosper. So he says, it's not going to happen. It's not going to come to pass. Be quiet. Be still. As wicked and sinful as you are, I am still on my throne, and I have a covenant, and I'm going to honor my covenant. Are you in covenant?
Yes.
Are you not in the new covenant?
Yes.
Are you not in a covenant relationship with God the Father?
Yes.
Don't you understand that Satan is going to do everything he can to shake your confidence in the Word?
Amen.
He's going to do everything he can to shake your faith. He's going to do everything he can to discourage you. He's going to do everything he can to disappoint you. And he's going to do everything he can to make you doubt the Word of God.
Amen.
Folks, I'm telling you right now, right up front, I'm going to tell you, we are looking at some days that are not going to be pretty. I made a comment to myself and maybe one or two people one time. I said, you know, wouldn't it be something if old Putin, be on his way out, is so full of anger and hatred and being what he is, he said, with my dying last breath, I will do everything I can to wreak all the havoc I can on the nations of the world by pushing a button. Well, now we've got people inside his inner circle saying that's exactly what he's thinking. So nations are on notice. We get wind now that he has indicated that they think that might be his mentality. But that he's the least of my worries, quite frankly. He's the very least of my worries. God is on his throne. God is in charge. God lifts one up. God puts another down. Just that simple. But come along now, watch this very carefully. Remember he said in verse 7, thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Verse 8, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is reason, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken that it be not a people. He is saying in 65 years, that nation you're so concerned about now won't even be a nation. That's what he's saying. In 65 years, Samaria, the 10 northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes that broke away when Solomon came to, when Solomon's son Rehoboam came to the throne and broke away and went up north, God is saying in 65 years they're not even going to exist as a nation. Why? Because he's going to bring Assyria in there, and Assyria is going to come in and completely, totally, thoroughly destroy the nation and take the population of the nation and transport them to other nations and spread them out in other nations so they're no longer a people, and then bring people from other nations into that nation and repopulate that land with people who are not citizens of that land. God says, 65 years, what are you worried about? And I look at that and I say to myself, I wonder if we're on a timetable. I wonder if we're on a timetable. Superpower after superpower, as I've told you for years. There's nothing, listen, please understand me. I'm not an alarmist. I don't buy into all the theories. I just go to the Word of God. The only thing I know to do is trust God and trust the Word. Obey the Word even when I don't understand. And so when I look at things like this, here's God saying through the prophet Isaiah to Ahaz, one of the most wicked kings the nation's ever known, the nation you fear within 65 years won't even exist. That's heavy. Especially when it was a big, strong nation. God says it's not even going to exist. Now look at verse 9. This is where he stopped me the other morning. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If, now watch this now, carefully. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. I got that far, and I wish I could show you my scratch notes. I was sitting there reading. He told me to go to Isaiah 7. I went to Isaiah 7. And all of a sudden, this just lit up like a neon sign. Unless you believe, you will not be established. And I said, what does that mean? What are you saying to the king there? What are you saying to Ahaz? Because God knew what he was thinking. God knew that in the back of his mind, his thinking, I will go to Assyria and I'll get back up from Assyria to conquer these people and to help me overcome them. And God knew that was going to happen. God knew that he was going to go to Assyria. He was going to go down to them. He was going to make a pledge with them. He was going to say to the leadership of Assyria, I am your son. I am your servant. Everything I have is yours. He's going to pillage the temple. He's going to take what's in the temple and give it to the king of Assyria. He is simply going to totally, completely turn his back on God. And God is saying to him, except you believe, you will not be established. Except you believe me and trust me. Give me something to work with, Ahaz. Give me some faith. Give me some confidence. Give me some courage. Give me something to work with. That's exactly what I saw. Ahaz, give me some faith. Give me some trust. Give me some courage. Give me something to work with. We don't think of God as needing anything to work with. Do we? No. But without faith, you can't please God. Amen. So you got to give him some faith. What I'm going to do now, and as I move into this, I'm going to cover some areas that are a little bit uncomfortable for many. I know that. I didn't take the vaccination. Sharon didn't take the vaccination. I practice what I preach. Amen. If I do not have the peace of God, I can't do it. Amen. This man sitting right here has been offered a job out at the beaches. Standing here telling me about it this morning. He said he drove out there to look at it, and I could see in his face where he was going with it. And I said, you had to check in your spirit. He said, yes. I said, then you can't take the job. You see, you cannot do anything that you do not have the peace of God in. And now they're starting to say that, and I was talking to Toby this morning, they're now saying that they are linking Parkinson's to the vaccination. And we've got people who had no symptoms of Parkinson that were vaccinated, and now have Parkinson's symptoms. As I went a bit further just researching, I discovered that 50% of the ingredients of the pharmaceuticals in this nation come from two nations, China and India. 50% of the ingredients in the pharmaceuticals that we use in this nation come from China and India. I discovered that 70% of the pharmaceuticals in this country are not manufactured in this country. They come from other nations. So you've got 70% of the nations getting the ingredients to the pharmaceuticals that they are concocting to be sold over here from China and from India. I'm not reading anything into that. I'm not reading anything out of that. I'm just giving you data that I researched and found out. You have to deal with it as you see fit. You see, I can't even take a prescription prescribed by a doctor unless I've got the peace of God. Amen. If the peace is not there, I can't take it. Julie, they found out that all this hallucination that was she was experiencing in the hospital, where she was seeing people that were not there, seeing things that were not there, and experiencing things that had no bearing whatever, was tied to her blood pressure medication. Folks, this is so serious because I'm telling you, I'm just warning our people. Yes, I'll be on the radio with this, but I want everybody in the sound of my voice, because I am a watchman on the wall. Amen. And the Word of God says if I don't warn the people, that their blood is on my hands. Amen. And I told her this morning, because she's now experiencing some symptoms of Parkinson. And I said, did you have the vaccination? And she said, yes. And I'm going to say this to you, and I'm not asking who in here took the vaccination. That's none of my business. You see, these are personal things between you and God. But I'm going to say this to you. If you took the vaccination, here's what I want you to start doing right now. I want you in the coming days to say to the Lord, Father, if my courage failed me, if my faith was weak, if I took this out of fear, I'm asking you to neutralize the effects of that vaccination in my body. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And if I did not pray it through, if I did not get your mind on this, if I did not get your peace on this, if I acted contrary to your will, if I received the vaccination without your permission and without your peace, I'm asking you to neutralize anything that's done to my body. I don't know what else to do, folks. Amen. Like I said, sure, and I didn't take it. We haven't had the vaccination. But this, we've got, from everything I can just read, and I told you some weeks ago that I heard the Spirit of God, and I thought it was the Spirit of God, say to my spirit, a wave of death moving across the country. Well, we're already finding the wave of death has moved and is moving. And we're finding more and more ramifications coming out of the vaccination. And we're finding connection with heart problem with 20, 25, 30-year-old men. This is online, folks. You can read it for yourself and go to factual documentation. Don't just take some writer. No, go get the facts. Go get the facts from respected resources. And understand this. They're not through. What bothers me is that, and this is one of the things that bothers me, is that the church, for the most part, my wife and I would drive down to Bob Evans to get some biscuits and gravy. And they'd be lined up around the building and down the road waiting to get their vaccination. A herd mentality. We were told, you got to have this, you better have this. And I have read horror reports of people who were in the hospital And the doctor's not supposed to come into you and say to you, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. They should be doing everything they could to give you peace and comfort. And I have read horror reports where the doctors were saying to the patient, you're going to die. And one lady, her husband had to sneak her out of the hospital to get her away from the hospital. And now it's online. Her testimony is online. What I'm saying to you is going forward, from this day forward, if I've already been exposed to something that I didn't have the faith and I didn't have the courage, if I've already been exposed, now I'm going to go before the throne of God and I'm going to say, Father, forgive me. Forgive my sin of not trusting. That's what God is saying to Ahaz here. He's saying, trust me, Ahaz. Put your, as sinful as you are, as wicked as you are, I will honor my word to David. I will honor my covenant. And I'm saying to you, Ahaz, because you're in the Davidic line and because I'm in covenant there, trust me, believe me, give me some faith. Give me some courage. Give me some submission. Listen to me, Ahaz. And Ahaz didn't do it. It's going to cost him. And it's going to cost the nation. It's going to cost the nation. Now I'm going to just walk you down a path that you know these things, but we need to be reminded from time to time. Moses, what's that in your hand? It's a rod. Shepherd's rod. Throw it down. He throws it down. You all know the story. Became a serpent. Then he had to pick it up as a serpent. Had to pick the serpent up. Became a rod again. Then God's going to use the rod. What can I give you? What can I give you? When the Lord says, give me something I can use, give me something I can work with, we have to ask ourselves, what do I have that I can give to him that he can work with? Moses, throw down the rod. He threw it down. God is going to use that rod. The anointing was not in the rod so much as God using the rod because it was suiting his purposes. And you may have to say to the Lord, Lord, what is it you want me to lay down? What is it in my life you want me to give to you? What is it that I have that I'm using that you want me to give you? What is it about my life you want me to give to you? Moses and David? David, a man of courage, and yet he goes up against Goliath. David, listen to me carefully. Take the skills I have given you with a sling. Take the courage I have given you, David, and use that sling and use that courage in going against that enemy of my people, which is leading the charge against my people, and I will make your stone a guided missile, and I will sink it into the forehead of that Goliath, and he's going to drop dead. All you got to do, David, is use the skills I have given you, use the courage I have given you, and do what I'm saying to you to do. Trust me. Have faith in me. Believe me. And I'll take care of it. Has it occurred to you that you can walk into your prayer closet and shut the door? And you can hurl prayer power, prayer, stone after stone into the forehead of what's coming against us now? Amen. Has it? No, seriously. Has it occurred to you that you've been gifted and anointed as a child of God to go before the throne of God without hesitation, keep your sin list short, but go in there and talk to him about everything that's coming down the pike at us, asking him to expose the hidden works of darkness in high places, asking him to bring everything to the light, asking him to frustrate the satanic agenda, asking him to bring failure to the satanic tactics, asking him to bring forth truth that will stand as truth before his throne, bring everything to the light so we can all see it. I said to my wife the other day, I said, leadership is supposed to protect. Leadership is supposed to protect. And I said, when was the last time we really had leadership in this nation that we thought were trying to protect us? Really trying to protect us. It's so partisan. Everything has a self-interest. All the legislative acts and all the judicial acts, for the most part, are slanted one way or the other. It's not necessarily the welfare of the people so much at risk or at hand here as it is what is my personal take on this thing. The same thing is true in the church. The leadership in the church has a duty to protect the people. We have to stand in the hedge. We're standing in the hedge. The leadership of the church, I am standing in the hedge for this ministry right here, as well as other churches, and I'm standing day by day by day against that, which Satan is bringing against the church. And I don't care what denomination it is. I don't care what how it's made up racially. All I'm concerned with is that we, the people of God, be the people of God and carry the day. And I'm expecting God to hear and answer my prayers. I'm not asking him to stop everything going. I'm just asking him to give us a wind, as I told you. You got Moses, a rod, David, his stone. What about Peter? One day Jesus is teaching. He says, Peter, let me borrow your boat. Come on, Lord. Yes, I'm tired. I've been fishing all night, but you want to use my boat? I just want to sit in your boat and use the water for an amplification so I can teach the people on the shore. Peter, can I use your boat? Okay. So Jesus gets in the boat and he teaches, addresses the people, the word of God. When he gets through, Peter, let's go out in the deep and launch the nets out. No, you don't understand, Lord. I appreciate the fact, I've told you this before, I appreciate the fact you're a good teacher, but I'm a fisherman, been fishing all my life, been fishing all night, I'm tired, I want to go home, want to eat some breakfast, want to go to bed, I got to hit it again tonight. We caught nothing, just give me your net and your boat for a few minutes, Peter. He obeyed once again. So the fish came from all over the lake and swam into the net. They couldn't pull the net up. Took it, get some help. Come over here. We've been fishing all night and got nothing. This man, Jesus, tells us to drop the net again. We drop it. He said, give me a net. Give me something to work with, Peter. Give me some obedience. Did you hear what I said? Give me some obedience. Was it God that said obedience is better than sacrifice?
Yes.
I think God said obedience is better than sacrifice. So am I going to obey? Yes or no? Am I going to handpick what I want to obey? Or am I going to say, God said do it, do it. God said don't do it, don't do it. Obedience, that simple.
Amen.
So putting in the fish. Simply because they obeyed. Give me something to work with, Peter. Let me borrow your boat. He didn't say give me the boat. He said just loan me the boat. Abraham, Isaac. Abraham, you've come a long way, but I got one final test for you. One final test, Abraham. And this is a toughie for all of us. Abraham, you love your son. You love Isaac. He is the son of the promise, and you love him with everything in you. And Abraham, you're not going to understand this, but I want you to take your son Isaac up on the mountain. I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. I want you to burn him to ashes, and then trust me to raise him up from the dead. Give me something to work with, Abraham. Give me faith unlike anything the world has ever seen. Give me that kind of faith, Abraham. And Abraham became God's friend. David became a man after God's own heart. Abraham became the friend of God. Why? Faith. Give me something to work with. You see, when Satan comes against me, and sometimes I'm praying for my wife. My wife can be in pain from a tendon kind of thing or a sciatica kind of thing. And I can be praying for her. And there's times I see the peace and I see the rest and I see it happen. Other times I don't see it happen like that. And you think, Lord, what have I got to pray to get the victory over this thing? And I told this man this morning, I said, you are her husband. I said, day by day or whenever the Lord lays on your heart, you lay your hands on her. And you tell Satan, and you bless her body, and she's going to confess this sin that she took the vaccination out of fear, that it wasn't in faith. She didn't really have the peace to do it, but she did it. And now you're going to, as her husband, you have authority, you're going to pray for her, blessing her, and neutralizing everything the vaccination could have done in her body. And I say that to every husband.
Amen.
Say that to every husband. We have the authority. We, as husbands, have the authority in our home. We are the head of the family under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so we exercise the authority he gives us in praying. And sometimes it's a battle, folks. I'm not going to kid you. Sometimes it's a struggle. You think, well, okay, I won a day or two here. Now I've been sit back a day or two. You keep at it again. You go at it again. You go at it again. Remembering this, it's not in us, it's Jesus. It is in Jesus. It is his power. It is his authority. It is his name. His name causes every demon in hell to tremble.
Amen.
And Satan himself has to recognize that. Abraham passed the test. Let me give you another one here. What about the young boy with five loaves, two fishes? All he had was five loaves. Now you got it with 5,000, but you got 5,000 men there. Give me something to work with. Well, we got nothing. You better send these people away. Let them go somewhere and get something to eat. Well, do you have anything at all I can work with? Well, we got a kid here. Got five loaves and two fishes, but what is that? Crowd like this. Well, give them to me. Give me something to work with. Are you getting this? Simplest thing in the world. Give me something to work with. I need some courage. I need some faith. I need some trust. I need some confidence. I need you to believe I can do this. I need you to believe me. Believest thou me? You believe I can do this? Yes, Lord, I believe that. Then according to your faith. And so they give him the five loaves, the two fishes, and he feeds 5,000 people, 5,000 men. This message, when you look at the bottom line, this message is so simple. It's things that we should all have grasped so long ago. But I've never seen it in this light. I've never seen it in this light. Ahaz, give me something to work with on your behalf. And the way you do that, Ahaz, you trust me. You believe me. Believe the prophet. Believe the word that he's given. I told you, don't worry about these guys. I told you they're two smoking stumps. I told you they're has-beens. I told you they have no power. I told you they cannot conquer. Trust me, Ahaz. Give me something to work with. Ahaz wouldn't do it. Nope. Appreciate your effort, Isaiah. Appreciate the word. Not going to do it. I'm going to Assyria. Take that one comment there. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go in that time of need? Jesus, what did Jesus give up? Wednesday night's message. Some of you listened to it, you thought, boy, this is old hat. I know all this stuff. That message was done with this in mind. I had a friend who said to me, could you put together a message that I could give to someone that could really fully understand, completely explain how one is born again and what it means to be born again and how you know you're born again. And so Wednesday night, I wanted to teach what I'm teaching this morning. I wanted to teach. I almost fussed with the Lord. I wanted to teach Wednesday night what I'm teaching this morning. Lord said, no, I want that taught. So I taught it. We put it on the air the next day. Because there's a multitude out there who do not understand those principles. Now, you've got a tool. You can take that message I did Wednesday night. You can make a CD of it, and you can give it to anybody you want to. I don't care where they come from. It will explain what it means to be born again. Amen. And the fruit, how you know that you're born again, is there. What did Jesus do? You see, he gave up everything in glory, as I said Wednesday night. He gave up all the praise and worship, and he had the universe at his disposal. But he saw Bob Martin and a Mike Fiore and a Quinn Baxter. He saw Joe Vanna. He said, I will give you everything. I will go down there, and I will display your love and your power, and then I will go to a cross. I'll be despised and rejected. I'll be crucified. I will hang there, taking upon myself the sin of all who believe in me and receive me, and I will hang there, and I will die in that condition, trusting you, because I have the power to bring myself up out of the tomb. He gave up. He gave up everything. Everything. To save a wretch like me. So what about you and me? We've talked about Peter, David, Moses, Abraham, a kid with five loaves. What about you? What about me? I'm just going to mention four or five things now, and we're through. Think about this. What about your gifting? What is your gifting? Stay in your own lane. What is your gifting? And how are you using it, and where are you using it, and how often are you using it? What is your gifting? Are you giving that to him for him to use for his honor and his glory? One of the greatest things you can give him is not only your gifting, but your prayer, intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. Not about just individuals, but about the nation and the nations of the world. Give him something to work with. so he can answer the prayers. What about your faith? Faith and obedience. You see, if I've got the faith, I can obey without fear. This morning, now, folks, trust me. At times, God is going to check your spirit in the simplest expressions of life.
Amen.
To check your obedience. This morning, I head in to get a Mucinex. I'm going to get a Mucinex this morning. Got 3/4 of the way to the cabinet where they were, and the Holy Spirit said, no. I stopped. Is this you, Lord? A Mucinex. Simple thing. Mucinex. Don't do it. Why? I don't know. Except he gave me another course on what he wanted me to do. And I did it. I listened. And I did it. You're going to run across things. Hear me now. Simple things in life that he's going to say no to you or yes to you. And you're going to wonder, is this really you, Father? Here's how you will know. Obey. When the peace floods your... See, I knew the moment I turned and walked away from that box of Mucinex, the peace that flooded my soul. I knew that I had obeyed. Why? I don't know, except maybe nothing more than obedience. It may be nothing more than obedience. Will you obey me in the small thing? Because if you want to obey me in the small thing, you sure won't obey me in the big thing. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
If you will not obey me in the small things of life, how can I expect you to obey me in the big things of life? And are you willing to give me your obedience? Are you willing to give me your faith? Are you willing to give me your trust? Are you really willing to give that to me? If you are, your Heavenly Father says, I'll take it. I'll use it for my glory and your good. Tithes and offerings. I don't have to teach. I never have to teach about money or you're giving people. That's proven by your love gift. You're giving people. But I'll tell everybody out there in radio land, you don't want God's money in your bank account. Because you're not going to spend it the way you want to spend it. One way or the other, God will get his. I'd rather just give it to him up front. Say, Lord, there it is. I'm glad to get it off my hands and out of my bank account. Do with it what you will, because he used it then to advance his work. Now comes the one of the last things I'm going to mention you can give up. What about your testimony? What about your testimony? What God has done in your life? What God has done in your life, where he brought you from, what you were. Paul did that. Paul did. He said, I was chief of sinners. Yep. See, there are people out there that need to know that, yes, you're a Christian. Yes, you trust Christ. Yes, you've been born again, but you have a past. You don't have to brag about it, and you don't have to go into a lot of depth about the depravity of your past and the perversity of your past and how bad your past was, but you can let them know, I wasn't right with God, and God brought me through, and God changed me. I'm a new creation now. I don't want to do those things. I don't want to say those things anymore. I'm through with that. I'm a new creation in Christ. By the way, God's going to touch somebody this morning.
Amen.
How did I know that? Because I prayed it. What did I pray? Your testimony and your witness. You don't know this. I see spurts of victory with my wife back there. With the stuff she picked up a Clorox bottle. What, 2 gallons? 2 gallons of Clorox sitting in the back of the car. And she reached down with 2 fingers and picked it up. Tendon. Shot of pain. Still there. Now see, doctors will tell you that will never be healed. There's a lot of things that will never be healed unless God does it.
Amen.
It's not restricted to a lumbar or a sciatica or a tendon or whatever. There's a lot of things in life that are not going to be healed unless God does it, but the doctor's not the final authority. God is the final authority.
That's right.
This man's got the gifting as a chiropractic physician. He's got the gifting. He used it to bring relief to people, but he knows that God has to bless what he does or it's of no value.
Absolutely.
How many heart surgeons strut? Man, I'm a heart surgeon. What you are, well, we won't go there.
Without Christ, you're not. Jesus said, you can do nothing apart from me.
Amen.
Apart from me, you can do nothing. So what I'm asking you this morning, what if God says to me, what will you give me to work with? What would you give him? Ahaz, believe me. If you will not believe, surely you will not be established, Ahaz. God is saying to him, and he did not believe. It cost him, it cost the nation. What are we giving God that he can work with? See, the only thing I got to give him, I can pray. I can prepare a message under his guidance. I can teach the message under his guidance. But everything else I got is his. I want to give him everything I got.
Amen.
Submit my body to him as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. Reasonable service. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Get up every day of the world. Here am I. You can have me. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Did you catch that? It is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you will not believe Ahaz, you won't be established. Are we going to believe the word? Are we going to practice the word? And here's what we're going to do this morning. I have asked God, even last night, tossing and turning. I've asked God this morning to set in motion that which only I want to see you free of Parkinson symptoms, okay? Listen, if we spent more time concentrating on God, his word, what he says, instead of the knocks on the door, Satan knocking on our door with this accusation, that, God's not going to do this. God's not. We need to trust God. Paul prayed three times, Lord, take this thorn away. God said, no. You need that to keep you humble. But that was Paul. Eat up with pride, arrogance, all that kind of stuff. But what I want you to do this morning, I want you to purpose in your heart that you're willing to believe God. You're willing to believe God to do what only he can do.
Amen.
I've told you, pray big things. When you stand this morning, I want you saying, I'm going to do this until I get praise reports up here saying, glory be to God, hallelujah. Done. He did it. I pray for you folks by name, individually. I pray for you. Sometimes during the night, I wake up turning over. And I'm praying for you. And what's going on in your life when I'm aware of it. And I've got to believe that God stirs my heart to do that because he wants to do something with it.
Amen.
So I'm going to give him something this morning. I want you to stand up, Toby. Stand up. Anybody else that needs and you're willing to be enabled, hear me. See, I say to God, I'm willing to be enabled and empowered to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because we're told to love him that way. I tell God I am willing to be enabled and empowered to do anything you want me to do, whenever, wherever you want me to do it. That's my heart. Some of you are there. Now, I want those of you who know, I have a situation in my body that only God can really, truly restore. I want you to stand up. You say, only God can really fix this in my body, whatever it may be. Now, I want you to take just a moment and say, Holy Spirit, this is between you and the Lord now. Holy Spirit, please enable me, empower me to believe. Holy Spirit, enable me, empower me to believe. Now, Father God, I asked you earlier today and last night, I'm just simply invoking your name, Jesus, in this place. I invoke the name of Jesus on every person who's standing. And we're simply asking you to manifest yourself, Jesus, your power, your authority, your healing, your relief, whether instantaneously or progressively over the next few days or weeks, whatever. We're asking you to set in motion that which only you can set in motion. We're asking you to do that which only you can do. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I take my position of authority in Christ Jesus, and I renounce, rebuke, and resist any and every work of Satan coming against the members of this flock. I stand against you in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Christ against you. And with the finger of God, I cut you down. I resist you. I renounce you. I rebuke you as the under-shepherd over this little flock. And I bless you, each and every one of you, in the love of Christ. I bless you in the name of Jesus in your spirit, your soul, and your body. I rebuke all inflammation. I rebuke in the name of Jesus everything Satan has set up in your body. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you, Father, to set in motion that which will bring about the relief and the healing, and then bring forth a testimony to your goodness, your greatness, and your power, and your authority, and your answer to prayer. In Jesus' name I pray it, and I ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, that's... message is over, so y'all can go home now. Thank you for being here, and appreciate you being here. And
well, Hearts, thank you once again for joining us today here on Challenge. And until we get a chance to get together and do this again, be blessed.